Turning and turning in the widening gyre, the falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart, the center cannot hold. That's probably been my favorite poem for a long time, but wow, it kind of hits home this week. It's been a rough week, has it not? Perhaps these words are speaking to you today. William Butler Yeats penned this in 1919 in the aftermath of the First World War. And those were really dark days. Europe had been devastated first by the war and then by the influenza pandemic. So do they speak to you? Perhaps some of you are feeling hopeless, perhaps sad, perhaps angry, perhaps stirred to action. I've been following posts on social media, I've been speaking with people in person and on the phone, and I've been holding the grief, the fear, the anxieties of so many people this week. And people have been saying, tell me it will be all right. I can't tell you that. I can't tell you it will be all right. I don't know. Scary things have been happening already. The country is deeply divided, and the man who has been calling for violence throughout his campaign is now the president-elect. And violent acts of terrorism have already been on the rise. Things fall apart, the center cannot hold. But, you know, maybe our center can hold. Our center. Friday was Veterans Day, also known as Armistice Day. On the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, the end of the First World War, and it was horrible. There are no living veterans left from that war, and really anyone who is alive today who was alive then doesn't have good memories of that war because it was nearly 100 years ago now. That generation, do you know what we call that generation, the generation that came back from the First World War? The lost generation. The lost generation. Because they were devastated. They were devastated by that war. That was a war literally fought in trenches. And things seemed hopeless, but they came back and they built something. They gave us the Jazz Age. This church, this building that we worship in, comes from the time following the First World War. They were hurting, but they rebuilt. Perhaps it's ironic, perhaps it's fitting that Friday was Veterans Day, that we're talking about veterans, and we're also reeling in the aftermath of this election. Let us consider veterans for a moment. Many times in the past, we've had a draft, and perhaps some of you have been drafted, but for many years now, we've had an all-volunteer service. But for those of you who have served, for those of you who are related to people who have served, for those of you who are military brats, or have a sibling or a parent, an uncle, anyone who served, you know that once someone is in the military, you don't get to choose, you don't get to say, well, I'll go to this conflict, but not that one. Our military officers take an oath to serve what? The Constitution, to serve and defend the Constitution of the United States. No matter what. And the president, no matter who the president is the commander-in-chief. Our service members, they don't get to choose where they go. They don't make the conflicts. In fact, they're usually the ones hoping and praying that we don't get involved in any more conflicts. But there is honor and there is duty, and they go. Now, perhaps some of you know that my husband was a career Air Force officer. So I know one or two things about this. He went to the Air Force Academy and he served, and he was a Vietnam veteran. My father was an Army veteran, and there are other veterans in my family. And I've spoken to many veterans in preparation for other Veterans Day services in the past, and asked, what are your feelings and why do you serve? Why do you do what you do? Well, there is duty. You can't just say, I don't like this conflict, I'm going home. I mean, you'll have a court-martial. You can get in serious trouble for that. But there's honor. There's honor. There are the others who serve with those in uniform. And my friends have told me, well, I couldn't walk away from my brothers in arms. I couldn't just, how could I ever leave people there? So there's a sense of sticking together, of being duty-bound and honor-bound to serve each other. We're bound. We're bound in covenant with each other. We have the covenant of the Unitarian Universalist Association. And we say we will support each other. What are our duties to each other? And in what ways do we honor each other? And in what ways might we serve each other now? Well, I know many of you were picking up safety pins on the way in. I'm wearing one under my robe. The safety pin was something that started in Great Britain after the Brexit vote. It was a symbol, a way of symbolizing to people, I'm a safe person, you can talk to me, because just as is happening here after the Brexit vote, violence ticked up against immigrants and Muslims in Great Britain. And violence is ticking up here against people who are perceived to be other. Even people who have been born in this country, but who might speak with a slightly different accent, who aren't white, who aren't Christian, who aren't straight. So wearing the safety pin is a way of saying to people, I'm a safe person, I will stand with you, but this isn't what some people call slacktivism. You can't let it be that. This isn't liking something on Facebook. If you're going to wear it, you have to mean it. You have to have a plan. If you mean to wear this out in public and mean that you are a safe person, I want you to think about what that means and what you are going to do. When you see an act of terrorism being committed, because terrorism is not just bombing buildings. When you see someone bullying another person, when you see someone getting in someone's face, what are you going to do? And there are some good plans out there. And it doesn't, the best thing to do is not really to get in the other person's face, but to be with the person, to be with the person who's being bullied, to ignore the bullier. That's one of the good plans. I urge you to go online to look up things to do. I would love for you to start with this. This is a way to start. But to mean it, to do something with it, to pay attention. In the words of Black Lives Matter and Moral Mondays, to stay woke. That's one thing you can do. We can be gentle with each other. One of the easiest ways to defeat a foe is to divide and conquer, to cause infighting. You know, my activism is better than yours. I don't think that thing you're doing is exactly right. I think my way is better. You know, I don't think you're as committed to this particular thing, whatever it is, as much as I am. That if we do that to one another, and believe me, I've seen it already, it's already starting, we're not helping each other. We must be gentle with each other. I didn't really mean that. I'm picking on you because you're sitting on the end, so. We must support each other and call each other gently back into community. Because if we don't stand together, you remember this from third or fourth grade history, right? If we do not hang together, we will surely hang separately. So we can hang together. We can support each other and be gentle with one another. You got my back on this? I got yours. Okay. Another thing we can do in being gentle with one another is remember the good things that we have already and give thanks. So when you go downstairs for coffee, and we're going to do that, we're going to keep living our lives, right? We're going to keep doing the things that are good. We're not going to throw our hands up and say it's all over. So when you go downstairs for coffee or tea, Mike, when you go downstairs for coffee or tea in fellowship, into the fellowship hall, you will find at the end of the coffee table a little table with a basket with cards in them. And on these cards, you can write thank you notes to people in the congregation, only to people in the congregation. We're not looking up addresses to, you know, your congressman. Or, you know. Write thank you notes to people in the congregation. It can be for big things or for little things. Thank you for fixing the boiler. Thank you for the choir. Thank you for that time you babysat. I don't know. Anyone in the congregation that you want to write a thank you note to, you do. Just make sure that on one side you write very legibly the person's full name. first and last name. And then you put them back in the basket, and we will send them out to everyone that you've written thank you notes to. That's a way we can stand with each other. They'll be here at least this week, and I'm going to try and make sure that we have them for next week too. So we can stand with each other and thank each other. Let's do our part by serving one another in this community to make us stronger for going out to serve the wider community. Now, you saw my ABU hat this morning. I'm one of the ...15 or 16 military chaplains in the UUA. And when I'm out in public in my uniform, many people don't distinguish the Civil Air Patrol epaulets from Air Force. They just see an Air Force uniform, and people will occasionally run up to me and say, "Thank you for your service." That's all well and good. But remember that our job is not done when we run up to somebody in an airport and say, "Thank you for your service." That might make us feel better, but that's just the beginning. So we're gonna honor our veterans in the service right now. But just as the safety pins, wearing it is just the beginning. Saying thank you and showing thank you are different things. In such a time as this, right now, we're really going to have to go out there and show our thanks, are we not? Are we not?
Yes.
Can we do this together?
Yes,
we can. Okay. Join me as we recognize the veterans and current military in our own congregation. We are honored and proud to count you among us. As a token of our appreciation, we have a copy of Bless All Who Serve for all veterans, active duty and reservists, as well as all dependents. This is a devotional book compiled specifically for UU service members and is made available for free by generous gifts of UUs from around the country. In a moment, I will ask you to rise by conflict if you are able, and please remain standing. Veterans Day, or Armistice Day, began as a remembrance of the end of the First World War. There are no longer any living U.S. veterans of that war. Let us pause for a moment to remember the sacrifices of that generation. Please rise if you served in World War II. Please rise if you served in the Korean War. Please rise if you served in the Bay of Pigs. Please rise if you served in the Vietnam War. Please rise if you served in the Dominican Republic. Please rise if you served in the Lebanon Peacekeeping Force. Please rise if you served in Grenada. Please rise if you served in Panama. Please rise if you served in the First Gulf War. Please rise if you served in Somalia. Please rise if you served in Bosnia. Please rise if you served in Kosovo. Please rise if you served in the global war on terror. Please rise if you served in Afghanistan. Please rise if you served in Iraq. These are all the conflicts the U.S. has been involved in since World War I. However, many have served who have never seen conflict. If you are a veteran or still in the service and have not served in a conflict, please rise. We are grateful for your service. May the Holy watch over you. May your days be blessed. May you live in divine wholeness. Namaste. We also recognize the families of those who serve. If you are a family member of a veteran, please rise now in body or spirit. We know that you have sacrificed much as well, and we are grateful to you. May you find strength and comfort in the arms of this religious community, and may you also live in divine wholeness. Namaste.